1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Father James McQuarters will join us in just a moment here on The Phil Hendry Show, a Roman Catholic priest friend from Belmar Academy. Look, I realize that we're on a lot of Air America stations, and the Air America stations that carry The Phil Hendry Show, in my opinion, are truly progressive stations. Air America bills itself as progressive talk radio. And I feel, with as much humility as I could possibly muster at a moment like this, that our show is as progressive as it gets when you're talking about spoken word radio, spoken word formats. Because I don't know whether you know it or not, they're not calling it talk radio anymore. Well, it's spoken word. And the reason why they say that is because, you know, what we're doing here really is a comedy show masquerading as a talk show. It's a satirical review of the world masquerading as a talk show. And I don't think of anything more. I can't think of a show that's more progressive than ours on the radio right now. So the Air America affiliates that are carrying our show are walking the walk. And I understand it's jarring for some. But if we really are talking about free speech here, which is what I thought we were talking about, I mean, I thought that's what Air America truly was chartered for, then, you know, it's logical that Air America would carry my show. Logical. Now, I don't know about, you know, what you're supposed to do or say when it comes to certain political issues if you're an Air America host. I don't know if you get, you know, if you get a memo or something. Nobody sent me one. Some of the things that we do, you know, for instance, last night, Steve Bozell was suing Coppertone because Roy Hutchins saw some of it dripping from Steve's wife April's face, and he made a joke about it. Now, is that a liberal or is that a conservative opinion? I don't know. It's human. It's real. You know as well as I do, people are suing for things like that. We also had Dean Wheeler running for office in the San Francisco Bay Area, telling me that his kickoff the campaign barbecue needed more black people to attend because he wanted the, quote, those rumors about him not liking black people to go away. Now, is that a liberal or a conservative opinion? I don't know. I think it's very human. It's very real. It's not dissing liberals. It's not necessarily dissing conservatives. What it is doing is it's a comment on what price fame, you know, if you're running for political office, just what are you prepared to do? We're always talking about it. How come you can't show it? You know, and then we also, we also had Bob Green on, who was disappointed that he couldn't get any media coverage for his assistance to the homeless and the elderly during the recent heat wave. He'd set up a tent, and I think he said he had, Kool-Aid and Minute Maid, whatever the hell he had, and, you know, a movie. And he didn't get enough media coverage. I don't know if that's a liberal or conservative opinion. I mean, it's a snapshot of business, you know, looking for the tax break when it comes to helping the less fortunate. Now, if you're saying to me that, you know, Air America was put on the air to toe a certain political line, and you had to have these following opinions on public issues, you had to be pro-choice, you had to be pro-affirmative action, you had to be anti-Iraq war, you had to be anti-Bush, you had, you know, in other words, sort of what I guess some people expect a liberal to think, I would say to you, and I would respectfully submit to you that there are not only liberals but leftists, I mean full-on socialists, and I can give you their names if you want. I mean, in fact, there was a group of very prominent socialists, leftists, who signed their name to a letter supporting the war in Iraq. Now, I don't know what that is. Is that a liberal or is that a conservative opinion? What does that mean? I think what's happening is people are beginning slowly, but people are beginning to be less factional. I think people are really getting tired of factionalism. I mean, I'm just saying this to both conservatives and liberals. Man, you guys are really beating a dead horse here with this liberal conservative thing. You're just beating it to death because people are not really right. They don't want to ride that train anymore, man. They do not want to necessarily be a member of a club that, you know, you're supposed to adhere to this, 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 and this, or you're a either a you know you're a, either a commie or you're a fag. You know, you're either a Nazi or you're a commie pinko fag. In the words of George Carlin.
Well, you're getting kind of heavy. I don't understand.
Hey, don't worry about it, bud. Okay, don't even worry about it, man. I'm just I'm telling you this because, you know, that lady that called us last hour, she was listening to us on our Air America affiliate in Detroit. Now, were we knocking her for her political views? No. What we were doing was using that moment to illustrate the technical horror that radio is and also the technical nonsense that talk radio is or can be. Now, there, I'm being very straight, and I'm talking straight about it, and I hope you'll still love me. I hope you'll still love me at the end of the day. That's what I'm really saying. Why can't I just spit it out? Why can't I just say it? Will you love me? Will you love me in ways that I've never been loved before? That's the question I ask myself, Mary. You know, Mary, when I look at you, I see your red hair and your freckle-splashed nose. And, oh, I remember those days on the heather. Father James McQuarters, pick it up from here.
But I will, Phil. This is Father James McQuarters. And what Phil's talking about, Mary, he's talking about the day that he met you. The day that he met you as he carried his satchel down the road filled with potatoes, as he herded his pigs along the dirt path there on his way to Killarney. And there you were, sitting under a tree digging for potatoes. Yes, Mary. Do you recall the day there in the chapel yard when I betrothed the two of you, the banns of matrimony, and the two of you became man and wife in the eyes of God and the community? Oh, what a time we had at the reception, too. We danced and sang. And then later that night, the two of you went off to your marital bed. And there you would consummate in loving honor the cherished marriage of the two of you. How do I know? I had a camera in the window and...
All right.
What'd you cut me off for?
Get out of here, you freak. You had a camera in the window.
Caballero Films, Volume 6.
Get out of here. Beautiful sentiment like that, messed up by that perv priest. How about if I take you to Arby's for a beef witch if you give me a peek? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, only if he's ready to do it.
He says he is.
All right, Father McQuarters, go ahead.
Hello.
Father McQuarters, I don't need you recounting sticking a camera in someone's bedroom window.
Phil, I'm simply trying. I thought I was cutting the ice a little bit. I'm sorry if I offended you.
That's fine. You were just talking about how this little, you know, the love affair I had with Mary.
Yes, Phil, it was with Mary. Now,
see, man, where the music?
Oh, man, he goes black when he doesn't have his music, doesn't he?
That's right. Get it on.
Sorry, Father.
Well, you see, sorry now, man. Now, look at this. I got to have music. Otherwise, I don't think same.
Oh, thank Christ. You see, Phil, marriage is a sacred time. The time when a man and a woman get together and do the do in the funky chicken.
Okay, bug off, okay?
I'll see you in hell with your money.
1-800-44... What a...
I tell you, guy's a perv.
You told me he's a perv. Ain't you the guy he offered the beef witch to?
Oh, yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Maybe he offered me the beef witch, and then, Margaret Gray is going to join us, and Margaret is, really, it's kind of an exciting project, Margaret, that you've got going. I saw where the pictures of Saddam Hussein were on the web today.
Yes, Phil, and if I'm having trouble hearing you, we're in the middle here of Cunningham's great steakhouse here in the west side of Los Angeles. I just had dinner with Bill Putnam. We're putting together the finishing touches on a proposal, on a pitch that we're going to make tomorrow at CBS. It is very exciting. It really, I think, is cutting edge, and I know you're going to laugh. It's based upon the last 2 years of Saddam Hussein's rule in Iraq, and it centers around Saddam Hussein. It will be a soap opera called Disillusionment. A daily soap opera featuring Saddam Hussein and the many people in his inner circle. And really, we often say that life is a soap opera.
Now, let me hold on for a minute. You're going to take the actual events of his life
and portray them every day, the last 2 years of his reign there in Iraq, up until he's arrested by the American forces and imprisoned. And
what makes you think people...
Well, Phil, just keep your opinions, you know. Try to put a leash on your opinions here for a moment.
No. It's got nothing to do with the war. I'm wondering why you would think people would find, you know, because the central character, obviously, is going to be Saddam Hussein, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, then, as they say in television, you know, your central character are the eyes through which your audience is seeing the entire story. So he has to be a sympathetic person.
And that's where I think we do have a sympathetic person. Did you see the pictures today of Saddam Hussein in the courtroom?
No, I didn't.
They were really quite remarkable. He showed there was an intensity, I thought, that was, yes, sexual, yes, I felt it, but also a rugged handsomeness and the look of almost an animal of prey who is going to survive. I found all of it terribly exciting. I was terribly excited by it. And
You thought the pictures of Saddam were sexy?
I didn't say sexy. I did feel the sexual pull, as many women do. Power is, as Henry Kissinger said, the ultimate aphrodisiac. Or as Frank likes to say, what do you say, Frank?
Give me the phone.
I'm on the...
Just go. Hello, young man.
Hi, Frank.
Henry Kissinger used to say, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. And then she'd go back to dinner, you know.
Oh, yeah, she, he.
The gender confusion?
Yeah.
What was that?
Thanks, Frank.
All right, young man. I'm trying to get a guy to get me three fingers of Cuddy and a tumbler over here, and I can't get the Puerto Rican. Hey, you. No, forget the food server. You can do it. Are you a busboy? I want three fingers of Cuddy in an old-fashioned glass with lots of ice, huh? Huh? How you do that? Say habla espanoles? All right, son. He's a hell of a kid. He's the busboy, for GD's sake, so he'll go get the drink while the waiter is out back counting his tip money with his bow tie hanging in between the crack of his rear end, you know. All right, Phil.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really resent that.
I'm sorry, but he grabbed the phone from you.
Anyway, Saddam Hussein, I think his life is interesting. And we also, Phil, will use as the theme music a classic song that I know right now Bill Miller is listening to your show, and I wanted to do a couple of lyrics of this song. This will be the theme to Disillusionment, a daily soap opera about Saddam Hussein. So if, with your indulgence, Phil, I'd like to sing this, because I said...
You got a producer out there listening now.
Yes, Bill Miller, who's very interested in the project, is listening. So, Bill, this is sort of how it goes, Bill. If you can imagine the music, the opening to the song, you know the one we're talking about. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Oh baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad. Well, don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? Ooh, when things go wrong, I seem to be bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood, you know. And then we go 2, 3, 4, loop, do-do-do-do-do, you know. And I don't know whether we want to get the animals to, you know. And then it goes do-diddle-do, diddle-do, diddle-do-do.
Okay, is he listening to this?
Please don't interrupt me. Bill, I'm sorry. It's the host of the show. Anyway, it goes do-do-do-do, ba-da-do, ba-da-do, ee-boo-boo. And then, hold it steady, Frank.
Oh, Frank, you know I've got the shakes.
I understand. Would you get him another drink? And then he goes, baby, sometimes I'm so carefree. Can you see Saddam Hussein standing with his arms behind his back, staring at the panorama, the Arabian panorama of the date palms and the barrels, the cannons from the tanks? As he said, baby, sometimes I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry, and then you're bound to see my other side. And then you go, well, I'm just a soul. You know, we really rock it up, okay? And then dee dee da da la lee 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 lee. And I think maybe bagpipes or a sitar. I don't know, but that's my idea, Bill, okay? All right, Phil.
You know, I don't like being preempted like by that. I think it's very rude for you to... Hello? Was this all for her to just get on and do her freaking pitch?
Oh, she said she wanted to talk to Bill Miller.
Do I look like Bill Miller to you?
No.
Then why would you put her on the air, man?
Because she said she wanted to.
She said she wanted to talk to Bill. Did she want to talk to me?
No.
So what are you putting her on the air for, bud?
I don't know. She said she wanted to talk to Bill Miller.
What's my name?
Phil Hendry.
Okay. How do you spell it?
P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
Okay. How do you spell Bill Miller?
See, that's just it. I know. I don't know.
Do you think Bill Miller is spelled P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E?
It might be.
So Bill Miller and Phil Hendry, that's the same name.
It could be. I don't know.
You ever do that again, bud? And I know you're not a paid employee. You're an intern. But if you ever do that again, you're fired.
Okay. I still butchered it up, though, didn't I?
Yeah, there's no coming back from that. What difference does it make? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Good God. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Bagpipes and a sitar. Yeah, that'll work. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, a little announcement for you guys. Here in the Los Angeles area, but this is for all of everybody, my entire audience. Here in the L.A. area on the 26th, now, when are we going to do this? Oh, the 26th is tomorrow night. And I just found this out today. The 26th, the 1st, and the 8th of September. So the 26th of August, tomorrow night, then the 1st, which is a week from tonight, and then the 8th, which is 2 weeks from tonight, here in the L.A. market, we're going to be preempted for Raider football. Our show will be broadcast in its entirety following Oakland Raider football. However, on those 3 days, everybody gets a free backstage pass to our website. So on the 26th, which is tomorrow, the 1st and the 8th, everyone has access to the Phil Hendry Show website, all the archive material, deepest archive of radio comedy anywhere on the web, and it's all from our show, and you'll be able to get online, take a look at our past webcasts, as well as access all the long-form, the 30-day archive, so the past 30 days of shows are all fully archived there for you, and just a potpourri of things that you can't get unless you have a backstage pass. Tomorrow, as well as the 1st of September and the 8th of September, it's all going to be free. And why? Because we understand that sports preemptions can be a hassle, and we don't dig them any more than you do. I ain't saying I don't appreciate the fact that extra sports here in Los Angeles should play the Raiders are, they're a sports station. I mean, come on. And I dig football. Not really on the radio, but... But anyway, that's why I got DirecTV. But
don't need DirecTV for that game. It's going to be on the air.
Uh-huh, that's, well, gee, great. Thanks, Einstein. Oh, God. Now I've completely lost my train of thought because of you, man. What is this?
I'll tell you what it is, Phil. It's Father McQuarters. I think you need to treat the child better.
No, wait a minute, Father. This is none of your business.
No, I've been listening to you abuse the child enough. The boy is a poor gloid. His head's all out of whack. He's all in the heap. Why don't you treat the child as a child of God? Yes, Phil. Jesus told us that wherever the least of you are, there I am.
That's true.
It is true, Phil. It's also true, Phil, that Jesus told us that no greater love does a man have for his fellow man than to give his life for him. Isn't that true, Phil?
Yes, Father, you're right. I'm sorry, bud.
Phil, you don't have to say you're sorry. Just love what God has done for you. And Phil, I'd also like you to know that tonight, in honor of you giving out a free webcast, I'll let you have the negatives back of that spread job you did.
Okay, that's... You sick. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
What do you want, Father McQuarters?
Phil, I just want to say one more thing. I'm sorry.
I'm moving on. What do you want to say?
Are you for real?
What a turd.
Back at you, douchebag.
I'm a Oh, well, that's really good. 1-800-449. Look, man, you want to come on my program and talk about sticking a telephoto lens in my bedroom window? Capiche? Savvy? Law don't go around here, law dog. Savvy? All right. Bridget Bardot has called for a halt to the use of puppies as shark bait. Well, now she's gone too far. Bridget Bardot, the 1950s and 60s film star turned animal rights campaigner, has called on the French government to halt the reported use by fishermen on the island of Reunion of live puppies and kittens as shark bait. The French government responded, "Ms. Bardot, we've appreciated your contribution to our culture. We've appreciated your magnificent films, the beauty that graced the screen of America's and Europe's cinemas for so many years. No, we're not going to go along with you on this one, Miss Bardot, because you see, you used to be a piece of tail, and now you're a raisin. You're scary looking. You scare me. No, I'm going to keep throwing them puppies in. You want to know why? To pay you back for all those years when I was a little boy looking at you on that screen, thinking about you, hammering away at myself, and I never had a shot." No, she's very, how could you not disagree with that, right? In other words, what that argument is, Bob, I want to get a campaign together so we can really embarrass the fishermen, okay? I got it. Let's feed kittens to sharks. I'm never going to buy it. Bull crap. Go ahead. Put it on there. I want to hear it. Let's feed kittens to sharks. Right. Now get that on an AP, UPI, the whole deal. Blog it, the whole end. Let's go. Well, come on, man. They're going to, come on. Kittens are being fed to sharks, all right? Now, I want to embarrass these guys that are fishing out there, okay? Because that last can of Starkist that I had, you saw what happened to me, all right? You saw what happened to me. You think a human being's supposed to grow a tail? Oh, you're right about that. Okay, so let's get on it. That's a pretty cool, it's a good pitch. If she's right, if they're actually doing that, well, it doesn't surprise me. They're French. Got a lot of Americans buried in the soil over there, don't we? Yeah, it's not that anybody notices, but we got a few of our guys over there. A few of them under that French sod, under the French sky, under French soil, but they're Americans. The American flag flies over them. And as they sit there in the land of the French, we hope they're being cared for. We can't be sure. But as long as our guys died on a foreign plot of land fighting a tyranny that the world had never seen before, I think a lousy stinking puppy going into the jaws of a shark, ain't no flies on my rear end.
Don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining.
That's right, bud. Don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining. What?
Yeah.
All right. It's imperative that the government does something to end this practice, she said in a letter to the... How in the hell are you... I mean, if you couldn't even begin to do anything worse. I mean, like, I think I'll go home and beat my wife. Not good enough. All right, then I'm going to go and kill children. No, not quite good enough. We hear too much about that. All right, I'm going to take this furry, cute, mewing kitten. Just a mew. Just take him, right? Uh-huh. And shove it into the face of a tiger shark. Got it. I like it. Let's write it up, baby. I want to hear a proposal. Then we'll do a pitch, and then we'll do a concept meeting, and then we'll go back and do another pitch meeting, and let's do a pilot, and then let's redo the pilot, and then let me see what you got in episodes 2 and 3, and then we'll go back and do the pilot again, and then we'll do pilot 1, and then we'll cancel it. All right. According to, this has got to be a gag. This is on Yahoo, but according to a newspaper in Reunion, it's called Clicunu or Kukaju or something, a French island located in the Indian Ocean, a six-month-old puppy was found last month with hooks implanted in its snout and one of its legs. Jesus! The French Society for the Protection of Animals told the Daily the dog was the victim of cruel fishermen who attract sharks. Look, if you got a couple of frogs that have got too much vino in them, some sick, twisted bastards like that, I guess it's going to happen, but... If it's actually being done as de rigueur, there's a French word for you, by the fishermen of France, yeah, then I agree with Miss Bardot. And in agreeing with Miss Bardot, even though she is 100, I'd like a shot. I'd just like to take, just put me in line. That's all I'm asking for. And for agreeing with Miss Bardot, you are in line to be with her tonight as she slips into a flimsy burnoose. All right, 1-800, anyway. Speaking of bite, I wanted to tell you this. I said something really weird, and I talked to, you know, I'm kind of on this kick, man. And I said this once before, I'm going to say it again. You know, guys, this is the way guys are. Breast cancer, well, I don't give a crap about that. Yeah, really? Do you like women? I mean, have you got a wife? Have you got a girlfriend? Oh, yeah, of course I do. Okay. Well, she may die from it, Jack. So you might want to get a little educated on it, right? So dig this. I'm hearing this thing, and I don't know what news story it was, but PETA is pitching don't eat meat, which is what their thing is. And I think it's a cool concept. I got a bunch of friends who are vegetarians. I even have a friend who's a vegan, and they're even a vegan for moral reasons. Dig it? But I was having lunch with them the other day, and she said, you know, I don't eat meat. I said, well, that's cool. I said, you know, it's interesting because there's been some scientific research, much of it done by Dr. Atkins, but there are other doctors who believe now, they now believe there's a link between overuse of carbohydrates, overabundance of carbohydrates in your diet, and breast cancer. That, in other words, women who get breast cancer do not eat enough animal protein. And I went on to say, for instance, poor Linda McCartney, God bless her, she died of breast cancer, man, and she was very healthy. She was a vegetarian, right? So all of a sudden my friend's like,
oh, yeah?
And then, hey, Eddie, how about a big, thick, raw, you know, let's get some of that tartar going. But it's true, right? So a lot of times when I meet women, I'll say this. You know, my wife, in fact, I finally got Maria off of that freaking kick she was on with that, you know, salads here, there, and everywhere. Well, do you know what I like to have, honey? I have the fat-free cheese. Oh, will you have a steak? I need for you, honey, at least once a week to take a big piece of meat and put it in your...
Word.
But anyway, no, she's got to eat meat, man. I told her, and you know what she's doing? She's doing it now. She's eating meat. Every week, I said, did you get a steak? Well, I don't want to get a steak. Eat a freaking steak. Let me explain something, and this has got nothing against animals. I don't believe in the cruelty to animals. It's absurd. And if it's going on, it's got to stop. But by God, get a bow and arrow out there and then kill one of them. I don't care. The fact is, we were and are still carnivorous. There's nothing wrong. It's not a sin to deny what you are essentially by nature. We are meat-eating people. You see, we have the teeth to prove it. We've got the ravenous appetite for meat to prove it. We have not outgrown it. We dig it. We want it. And on some level, we need to have it in our diet. Because we're able to rationalize, we're able to say, rationalize as in con ourselves sometimes, we're able to decide against even a certain instinct. Some people are celibate, for instance. Is that healthy? I don't know. For some people it is. For some people it isn't. Some people morally believe that celibacy is good. Is it healthy? Physically? I don't know. Not eating meat. Is that healthy? I've never seen a vegetarian that I would envy physically. I've never seen a vegetarian that didn't look just, oh, maybe 3 degrees better than Michael Stipe. Here's a cat, Michael Stipe with REM, or R-E-M, you know, that band. I mean, the cat thinks looking like you have AIDS is like, yeah. So what do you think? Yeah, it's great, man. It's a good look for you. I don't understand. Well, what do you mean? Dude, I mean, you're like skinny, bald, and you look like a cat with AIDS. Yeah, it's kind of my, you know, it's my thing right now. So, anyway, in this news story, it says PETA, no. And then they brought up Linda McCartney. They're giving out an award based upon Linda McCartney. And I thought it was so ironic because Linda McCartney was a vegetarian. And of course, therefore was in line with the you know, the precepts of PETA and vegetarianism, but it's possible. In fact, it might even be probable that what contributed to Linda McCartney having breast cancer was not eating meat. That's the thing that's, and I'm not, this ain't politics, man. This is science. It doesn't matter though. People say, oh, okay, I get it. You're a meat eater. You're like, so you're in favor of what? The death penalty? Well, no, man. What? You're a meat eater, so therefore you are in favor of handing out guns to gangbangers. No, I didn't say that. All right. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with more. Margaret, you want to sing us out?
Thank you for having the decency. Oh, do 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 do
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Sometimes I feel a little weird. I had a heavy flow this month. Oh, excuse me.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Couple of emails here. Phil, and these are requests for flashbacks. And this is really, if you'd like to hear a flashback, you go to phs@philhenryshow.com, and we forward them on to Mark, and then he looks them up in the archive, and we get to them as fast as we can. We got tons and tons of requests. I don't know how backed up we are, but we do get requests for certain ones more than others. Here's a request. It says, Phil, would you please play the replay, or would you replay the Citizens Auxiliary Police 8-piece chicken bucket skit? I've got friends who I'm I've got friends who I'm trying to get to listen, and they thought that sounded funny, and we're hoping to hear it. What the hell is the 8-piece bucket skit? Now I'm just, you got to find out one, Mark. And then here's one from Tim, and he writes, "Hey Phil, I love your show. I was wondering if you could play the bit where Pastor William Renick and the show where he bought a silver bullet and a gun to protect himself from anyone who might be a werewolf. That was on Halloween." 2001, and that's one that we really get. That's on a CD, too. Speaking of the CD, you can pick it up at www.philhenryshow.com, our website. Starting tomorrow, late tomorrow, a brand new feature on our website, the Bobby Dooley blog, and we're going to talk a little bit here with Bobby. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and I wanted to say that we're very honored to be able to blog on your website.
Bobby, you're going to have a blog every day on our website, and what's it going to deal with?
My blog is going to be called, I really thought hard about it, Phil, and what I wanted to talk about. And, what should I tell him, Steve?
Well, go along.
It's going to be called Musings. And it's just the things I feel, you know. And it's just things that you see every day, you know. And you look around and you go, is that for real? You know, you just look at it.
Yeah, and Mr. Henry?
Yes, Steve.
I have the Musings, and she'll have recipes and everything.
Yeah, and I want to give recipes and stuff. So it's going to be on your website tomorrow.
Yes, it is. It's going to be on our homepage.
And there'll be a picture of me there.
That for the very first time, we're going to see a picture of you, Bobby.
Well, I don't know if it's really me. I'm just kidding. But it is. It looks just like me. I will say that. It looks exactly like me. Except I do want to say, and I don't mean to say, maybe I shouldn't say it, because women get upset, but my breasts are probably larger than most women's, and it upsets a lot of girls when I say, oh, God, there she goes about her huge chest, you know.
Well, it is huge. I don't see why my wife shouldn't be able to say it.
Nobody's saying she can't talk about her huge chest.
Well, you know, I feel that... I just want to be able to walk around in a T-shirt with no brassiere and not have everybody staring at me. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well?
I mean, so there are millions of women in this country, more women than ever before today, with enormous cans. Why can't we walk around with no brassiere in a thin T-shirt after having just been hosed down by our husbands?
All right. So that's Bobby's blog tomorrow. Why can't I just have my breasts? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil All right. Henry Show is back.
Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, this is Jeff Downer. Right now, everything's pretty much better than it had been, but the winds were blowing pretty good here in South Florida, but we've got good news on the horizon. The winds were blowing probably in excess of 70 miles an hour. Did see a lot of, you know, trees getting in power lines and everything like that, but it certainly was no Hurricane Andrew. And I can tell you from my perspective, if you've got to live through a hurricane, Phil, this is the kind of hurricane to live through.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale right now. The eye of the hurricane was coming through about probably just near north of the airport down in Miami. But you can imagine the wind's blowing pretty heavy. So from down here in Miami and in the South Florida area, the hurricane is, I think, it's going to be fine, Phil.
All right. Before you go, Jeff, can you tell me again, the winds were around 70 miles an hour, but there was minimal damage?
Went down. Most of the time, though, it was just, hold on for a minute.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Hold on. Yeah.
Are you in Florida or not?
Why did you say that?
Because I just heard the sound effects drop out.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm in Florida.
You ain't in Florida. Where are you?
Just tell him.
If that's Dickman with you, tell him he doesn't have to come to work tomorrow.
No, he's... Turn it back up, man. I'm telling him.
Both you guys are fired.
Thanks, Mr. Henry.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.